right. We're tonight looking at the ministry of angels. There's a lot of things that we could continue over in the Old Testament, things about angels and stuff. There's quite a bit of information in the Old Testament. We see where angels used in different manners. But we're going to go start tonight to look over in the area of the New Testament. We're going to start tonight with the birth of John the Baptist, and then probably look some at the birth of Jesus, where the ministry of angels was used. We find it quite a bit here. And there's some other interesting things that we can see and hear about this. And so we'll start off in Luke tonight. We're going to go over into Luke because Luke starts off with the birth, really is covers the birth of John the Baptist and to detail. And actually, you know, we have in the scriptures, there's things in the Old Testament that tells about the coming of the Messiah and different things, but the birth of Jesus is only in the New Testament really talked about in two of the Gospels, in Matthew and in Luke, but Mark nor John talks about the birth of Jesus. But all four of them, it was really one of the most important things of it is the resurrection of Jesus was really the most important event that actually took place. And that was mentioned in all of them because, you know, it didn't matter that Jesus came to the earth. If Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, the Bible tells if he wasn't raised from the dead, you know, we would still be in our sin. It wasn't matter. It wasn't resurrection is why we could be born again. So the importance of that. But there's things about the birth of Jesus Christ. One thing was important, the fact that he was born into the earth. You'll see that they follow the line of genealogies and stuff in Matthew and different ones. They talk about the genealogy. One reveals in Matthew, that one reveals the genealogy and comes into line with Joseph. But the genealogy, actually Jesus' genealogy in the earth came through Mary, not through Joseph, because Joseph wasn't his father. So really it was because of Mary is in the line of David. She had to be in the line of David for him to actually fall into that line of genealogy. Joseph was the one who was mentioned because of his, they mentioned all the males, but it was because of Mary that he fell in line with the genealogy. And so, really, we see in these things here the fulfillment of Scripture. And Luke starts off, and Luke really covers the what he covers from John the Baptist through Jesus and down through, covers really a lot of the fulfillment of Old Testament Scriptures and things that had to do with John the Baptist, who was the one who was going to be the forerunner, which was prophesied and told of. And then we have the fulfillment of Jesus and born through a virgin, the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecies and things and other prophecies that were made. So in Luke, in Luke, the first chapter, we're going to look specifically and start. I'm going to pick up at verse 5. We're going to look here at is John the Baptist, because there's an angel involved here who we see in this fulfillment of these scriptures. Verse 5 says, "And there was in the days of Herod the king of Judah a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah." It says his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. It says, "And they were..." these things were important. If you actually look through these are important if you look back, because of the fulfillment of prophecy. And here with the priesthood, because we have a priesthood, the priesthood was in line with the with Aaron. Aaron was the out of Aaron's descendants came the priesthood. And so we see that they're following in line. This is one of the important things of Jesus. The scriptures had to be fulfilled concerning Jesus. They had to fall in, everything had to fall in line. If you could find anything that doesn't fall in line that they would have, it wouldn't be. You would really, the scriptures would be wrong. They aren't truth. And so here we have, and so Elizabeth, she was also a daughter, it says, of Aaron. So they all, he married in line with the family as one of the things that the priest had to do. The priest had to marry. So him, here we see in the fulfillment here of scriptures, it said they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. It says, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Incense and stuff was burnt in the temple, and for the purpose of the incense was a representation of prayer. So you find the people were praying, and so he, at that time, the priesthood, every so often, out of the priesthood is like his division there. He had certain times that he had to go in, his lot fell for him to be in the temple. Other than that, the other part of the years and that stuff where he wasn't working, they would be just living at, he would be living wherever he was allotted property, and he would live there, and so that he wasn't a priest all the time. None of them were were priests all the time. The high priest was a high priest for the year, for 1 year, and then another was appointed and would be there for the, would fill that office for a year, but the rest of the priests would come in at periods of time. So he's there just for a short period of time, fulfilling that. And it says, so he was burning incense at the temple. It says, and the whole multitude, they were outside praying. It says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he said he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am old and my wife is well advanced in years. Now this is really interesting because the angel of the Lord comes and appears to him, and we see the angel is bringing a message to him. He had been praying. Now think about this. Him and his wife, we know, have been praying. Now they're up in years. So I'm sure they had prayed for a lot of years concerning having a child. We need to understand these things are totally different than our culture today. So we can't relate in really to their thinking about it. Because we find out, you know, later on, because Elizabeth makes mention that God took away her reproach. For a woman to be married and not have a child was a very, you know, that was a terrible thing. It was no idea. I mean, today, we just kill them. You know, we kill our babies. We don't, don't think a thing of it. To them, it was a huge thing to be able to have a child. And they had been praying for a child, and here an angel appears and tells them it's going to be fulfilled. And Zechariah says, well, you know, in other words, what he's really, if we would put it in words that we had talked today, he was really asking, he said, well, what are we going to do to prove it to me that this is really going to take place? Because, see, we're old. And he did something here, got him in a bit of trouble. So he wanted a sign. Now, we found this with Jesus. If you read through the Gospels, you'll find at different times the scribes and Pharisees, you know, all the miracles Jesus did and all the healings he did was never enough for them. They used to come and say, well, give us a sign of who you are, you know. And they didn't believe what they saw, and they didn't believe what they heard. Well, we have here with Zacharias, he wanted to know. He said, we're advanced in years. In other words, he was praying. And here's a thing that we can learn from this ourselves, is the fact of, I'm sure they had prayed many, many times about this. They must have been after God about this. And they got to the point, is one of the things, you know, when you pray, especially, people get over many times, and I see people do this. They start off in praying by faith, you know. But as things progress over time and something doesn't change, people get to the point of thinking, and especially, I'm sure they got to the point of thinking, well, now it's too late. You know, you go over and look at Abraham. When did God turn around and Abraham's going to have a child? He waits till they're really beyond, or Sarah's beyond bearing years. waits till that takes place. Well, what they considered. And this is one of the things is, it's very easy to get over, like, I see this probably today more than any. We're more geared towards science than we are to biblical belief. Our educations put us in a place where we're taught so many things that are contrary to faith if something can be taken place. I mean, like today, I mean, a woman hits 45 years old and have a child. They think, well, I don't have a child ever 45. You know, the kid will probably have one eye and, you know, a big ear on one side or something. People get over it. And you know, the whole thing of it is because, see, people can't believe in miracles today. They've been educated out of them. And so here they're in this place. This guy, they've been praying, and so God sends an angel and tells them they're going to have a child. He don't believe it. He doesn't believe it. After they had been asking. Why? Because, see, God can't make old people have kids, and it would work. God can't do that. He's good, but he's not that good. See, what you need to understand, see, these things are put here in Scripture for us, but you know, I've watched over the years, nobody hardly ever teaches on this. I've never hardly heard anybody ever teach on this stuff. Because this stuff's here for that purpose, for us to learn some things. And yet, it's good. People just miss it completely. And it's here for a purpose. These things are put here because somebody's after something, and it don't show up in the time period they think, so that, what do they get over? It can't be done. See, all things are possible to him that believeth, but what's your range of believing? You know, we can set our range of believing here. If it can happen within this period, it's going to work. But it can't go outside this. You know, it's just, you know, it's I watch, you know, it's from a Christianity standpoint now. I see the things, you know, people with the presidency and all this stuff going on and people, you know, well, we're running out of time. You know, I sit and I think about, Is God moved by our clock? Is that? But the people don't realize this. They're going to put limits on God. They're going to put limits on things of how things can work. We are. What we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What we loose, that's what Scripture says. In other words, we're going to set. God's not going to set how this is going to work. We're going to set how this thing works. Our belief of what we think God can do. Here they've been praying for years, and this is a very interesting thing. They prayed in faith for an answer to something, and God has made the request, but it isn't in the time period they thought. And see, this is what I see people do this. They go along and they're believing God, and things go past a certain time, and it's like, well, now it's not going to work. You know, it's gone too far. It's happened. This is one of the things, you know, is in the areas, especially from the areas of raising people from the dead. Most people, they can't even conceive beyond it if a person gets sick and die. They may would like somebody raised from the dead, but they have no belief that God could do that because when a person dies, it's over. They turn off. Well, see, what happened was, seems as his wife didn't turn off, but he did. We're old now. It can't be fulfilled anymore. We're old. It ain't going to work. So, God sends an angel to tell him and bring him good news. But it doesn't seem, you know, he can't believe the good news. God, you didn't come within this time period. You know, we got too old now. This can't work. This can't, how can this really work? You know, you're God, but you're not quite this big. Come on. You're going to have a hard time making this work out. So it says, an angel answered and said to him, I'm Gabriel. He stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But, behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. So here's one thing is we also is a really important thing that he said there. You wouldn't believe my words. So you understand this. Faith is about words. Faith is not about what you see. Faith is not about miracles. Faith is about words that cause miracles. So faith, he said, you didn't believe my words. And you need to understand, faith is about words. In other words, not to believe. In other words, you wanted signs, having faith by seeing. You wanted to see something so you could believe. Angel said, no, that ain't going to happen. You want to see something? You ain't going to be able to talk. There you go. How you like that one? You said you wanted it. I'm going to give you what you want. Here's a sign. There you go. You get one. For 9 months. And maybe his wife was happy. I don't know. I don't know. But see, he wanted a sign. And you need to understand. See, this is where it comes down. Faith is words, believing what God said. The greatest faith is just to believe what God's word says without anything else. That's great faith. Anything else. Jesus, we find, if you follow Jesus' ministry, Jesus, on two different occasions, told people they had great faith. And in both incidents, it was because the individual believed just what he said and went away like it was true without seeing a thing. Just believe what he said. And he said, concerning the centurion, he said, I've never found any great faith like this in all Israel. In other words, he never found anybody in Israel who just believed what he said. They always had to see something. They always had to want something. They're always looking for something. Give me a sign. That's what he said. The Jews wanted a sign, you know, and, you know, well, then we have the Greeks, and the Greeks, they got to try to understand everything, and which he was making mention of the Greeks because that was the culture of the Gentile. And, it's like today. Today we're more toward the Greek, like in the United States here. We're all on the educational side, you know. We'll believe it if you can give me all the, you know, show me everything about it and how it all works and everything. And if I know it passes my test, then we'll believe it. And, that's the way people operate. But is that faith is in the operation. We believe just what God says, if God said it, whether I understand it, whether it makes sense to me or not. And so we have here, this didn't seem, hey, my wife's old now. Well, you know, hey, we believed this, yeah, we were praying, but now it's got too late. And God's going to, and it's amazing. I mean, God's going to fulfill scripture for Israel through them. And, and we're just too old, you know. And so it's really important in looking at this. So the angel comes. And there's one thing about it. If we found like in Scripture, when angels would come, they speak to people, they have something to say. It's hugely important is they're messengers and they're going to say something. And the most important thing that an angel does is what they say, is paying attention to what they say. And so here, so he told him, you know, he was going to be mute. He said concerning these words are going to be fulfilled in their own time. The words get fulfilled in their time, in the time of the word. So is believing the word, understanding this, is the word has to do with the fulfillment. So, he goes on and says, and the people waited, he said, for Zacharias, and he marveled, and he lingered so long in the temple, he said, but when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned them and remained speechless. So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. It says, now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me and took away my reproach among the people. Her reproach was the fact she couldn't have children. And so for her to have a child, this was a huge thing, a blessing from God. Well, we have again, the scripture goes right into dealing with Mary, and so we see a different incident here concerning Mary and the birth of Christ. Again, angels involved. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. It says, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and she considered what manner of greeting this was. It says, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall be called his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, if you look at those sayings there, I mean, what would you think if you had, you know, God would show up and say something like that to you? I mean, we don't have at any time in which I don't believe she ever had any thought that this was ever going to happen in her life. She probably, and just in one day, angel shows up, bang. Now, there's the thing about Jesus. There's one thing about Jesus. Jesus had to be brought up under the Mosaic law. He had to be brought up. In other words, he had to be raised, and he was just like any other child. Jesus wasn't in the earth, and he was operating as God, as knew everything. Because if he did, he wasn't human, and he could not have fulfilled our redemption if he wasn't a human being. If he did it as God, then all the Bible's a lie, and there is no redemption. We had to be redeemed by a human being, and he was, and he grew. So they had to raise him. So it's one of the things that, picking Joseph and Mary, God had to specifically choose someone who was going to fulfill the laws of Moses by raising this child. In other words, raising this child exactly in line with the law of Moses teaches, following the things to do. He had to be, he would have to be, you know, circumcised. He had to be presented at the temple. They would have to go through all those things as he grew up, because he wouldn't have never fulfilled the law. That was part of the fulfillment of the law in his life. So he had to do those things. So there were people who followed these things, and they did. So, but it says here, so Mary said, the angel said to her, he said, don't be afraid, Mary, for he said, you found favor. And the eyes of God says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. You should call his name Jesus. He will be great. He says, he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He said he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Holiest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her age, and this now the sixth month, who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the man, handmaiden of the Lord, said, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now she comes along and she just says, okay, I'll go along with your word. The total difference. A total difference from her standpoint. She just, the angel spoke, and she said, well, according to your word. Now, we know this because if you read along, you'll find this through the scriptures at times as you read through these things. It talks about her pondering things in her heart. Mary didn't understand. We know, like we talked about before I taught the other Sunday there, you know, they thought Jesus had went out of his mind, you know. And we need to understand the ministry of Jesus. Jesus was, from a ministerial perspective, Jesus didn't follow the culture, the Jewish culture. And we need to know the importance, because our culture means so much to, especially today. And they did too. Culture was everything. Culture is a big, like today, culture is so important. People, our American culture is so important. And we try to twist our culture and twist Christianity into it. And it's done nothing but mess up Christianity. We have this perverted thing we call Christianity, but it's all twisted up in our culture of how the culture runs. We think things should be done certain ways, and it has to do with our culture and not Bible. Now, if you look at Israel, Israel had the things in their culture. Jesus was the eldest, the son of the family. So see, he was supposed to be the head. When his father died, he becomes the head of the family. See, he's supposed to stay home and take care of everything. And he don't. He's out doing his ministry. See, that's what throws his mama off. His mama ain't got, because see, she's tied to the culture, man. See, the culture is what's really important. And it's like in our culture, how you do things today. Somebody comes along and does, well, you do things in a certain way. He's supposed to be home taking care of mama. That's the culture. Well, he ain't a good son. Because the culture says he's not doing good. See, in America, Christianity is the same way. We choose by our culture lots of times with good and evil. That's why Christianity changes, because the culture changes, so Christianity changes of what's on good and evil. Today, there's all kinds of things that are considered all right today. Man, when I was growing up as a kid, it wasn't all right. It was sin. Well, it was sin in the Bible, but today it's not. It's okay. It's all right because of culture. Culture determines when people allow the culture to run. And so in Jesus' day, this whole cultural thing changes. I mean, the fact that she made these statements here and stuff concerning this her son, what he's going to be. I mean, just think about this. I mean, she never followed her son's teaching till after his resurrection. She never followed him. You know, she didn't follow him around. He had disciples, people that followed him and followed his teaching. She didn't follow his teaching. Yet she had heard all these things. Now she said him, she said, I believe, yeah, you say it, okay. And is one of the things is we need to learn to do that. Is one of the things I believe is where people miss it in the areas of revelation and getting revelation is if you don't receive what the Word of God says is true to begin with, and you ain't going to receive it till you understand everything, you're probably not going to ever get much revelation from God. You'll probably hardly get anything. It's not about, you know, the Bible is true whether I understand it or not. It has nothing to do. Truth has nothing to do whether I understand it. I'm going to accept it because I understand. Well, that's if something's true, it's true whether you understand it or not or receive it. Change is nothing. Don't change a thing. Now, the average American will tell you that they believe the Bible's true. Well, now we know it's the biggest lie you ever heard in the face. They'll tell you it's true. They don't believe it's true because they don't receive its truth. It's nothing but words said. They'll say that it's true. Well, if you believe something's true, yeah, there should be some kind of an attempt to some sort. I mean, there ought to be some attempt to do that if you believe it's true. It is one of the things that I found that it is so helpful from learning scriptures is I'm not trying to figure out if this is true or this is not true. I just accept the Bible as truth. And there's things, you know, there's many things that you can walk in and do concerning scripture. You don't have to really understand a thing about it. It just says, do it. Just like you take the angel speaks to Mary and Mary just, okay, I'm just going to accept what you said. Yeah, I'm going to just accept it. Okay. It's right. I maybe don't get it, but it's right. You know? And so she takes it. We saw over there where Zacharias, he operated in I don't know. This don't sound right. Yet he's a guy been praying for a kid. But this don't sound right. And, so you see the differences, between the two. So, we'd go on to read these, you will find that in here, it goes down through in these, it goes into, it talks about, because Mary left and went to Elizabeth and she visited Elizabeth where Elizabeth lived. The Holy Spirit, really prompted Elizabeth to say some things, and then Mary spoke by the Holy Spirit. And, but I want to look, over at, back to, let's see, Matthew. Because Matthew talks about her, because we find again, there's things that are really interesting because we find the use of angels here concerning Joseph also. And now we have with Zacharias, an angel appeared to him he was the older. In other words, they call that having visions. There's different types of visions that people can have. You can have an open vision is you would see something appear like if I was here in this room and it would appear to me right here with my eyes open. They call that an open vision. There's some visions that take place, you know, a person may have their eyes closed or a person may have, Apostle Paul made mention about night vision. There's things that, I've had dreams already where when I was having the dream, I knew it wasn't a dream and it was just as if it was really happening. And I knew it when it was going on. Now, I was asleep at the time, and when this thing was over, I woke up. But it was really different. Then there's other times that I've had things as dreams, where something was given to me, a revelation about something was given to me, and it was really in a dream form. even though when I woke up, I knew exactly what it was about, and I knew the things it's about. But yet, I've had ones where they have been so real, it was just like I was awake, and it was going on. I mean, everything was... And if you have dreams, do not ever go to get somebody to try to interpret your dreams. Don't ever, ever, ever go into that stuff. Because I'll guarantee you, you'll get some demons working for you. It's number one, if you don't know what you dreamed about, just forget it. Now, see, people turn around and look at it, they say, well, you know, Joseph interpreted dreams. That's Old Testament. People didn't have the Spirit of God. People didn't have the Spirit. The prophet had the Spirit, and they ask him, we don't need to do that. And we don't ask people, you don't go to people do this. I mean, years when I first got saved, there's people doing that kind of stuff. Going to prophets, they have dreams. These prophets would interpret their dream. I've never seen such a messed up mess of people because these prophets were turning around directing people's lives. You're supposed to be led by the Holy Ghost. You got to learn to be followed by the Spirit yourself, not have somebody else telling you all the time. I don't want that responsibility of telling everybody what to do. Dear God, I have enough with me. I don't need to be telling you. If you can't figure it out for yourself, too bad. If God can't get a hold of you, something wrong with you. It ain't God. It's like, you need to know for yourself. That's the whole point. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He can direct us and give us answers to things. People like this bit, you know, I've seen it even with books. People write books on things and, you know, they more or less the book guides you. Well, you do this and do that. And it just, you know, we're not led. We're not legalistically led by the law. You know, you do this, do that. You got to be led by the Spirit of God. We have the Word of God, and the Word of God tells us things, but we need to turn around. It's just like in areas of healing, of what to do. You know, I see like ministers will say things, well, you know, if you're sick and if you believe God for healing, don't quit taking your medicine. He has no right to even say any such thing to you. You listen to God, what God tells you to what. You know, God may tell you, I'm going to just tell you this flat out. There are Christians who are dead because they went to a doctor. They refuse to act in faith toward God at all, and they're dead. Whether people like it or not. People need to pay attention to what's going on. You know, people go and ask God, and they ask God, then go do whatever they want. I don't have a right to tell a person what they're supposed to do. They need to know what they got. You have to walk in faith where you can stand, not where I can stand. Don't matter where I can stand. You have to walk in faith where you can stand, and in what God's speaking to you. What God tells you. And if God tells you to knock off, quit taking the medicine, you better obey it, because if you don't, you ain't going to get what you want. You ain't going to be disobedient to the Word. If God's showing you what to do, you need to do it. So you see, most people get afraid because God will speak to you and it's outside the parameters you set. And your fear will kick in as soon as you get outside of your parameters. That's right, it will. I know. I did things already in that stuff, and I'm going to tell you what. My flesh had a hard time following God on things. But I'll tell you what, I learn over time. I have seen more miracles in my own personal life than I'll tell you what most churches have had in their whole church. And you know what? It was always walking outside. God would take me outside the parameter of what I thought. Miracles don't happen. Do you take a children of Israel? You tell me you'd followed Moses? You would have followed Moses no more than the children of Israel followed Moses. Because, you know, I don't like the Egyptians right here at my back door sitting and there's an ocean in front of me. I don't like that. I don't want to stay here overnight. I don't want to go 3 days in the desert, no water. Most Americans couldn't go 75 minutes without water. They'd be complaining. It's good preaching. But God takes you outside of where you're at. And you have to learn that. It's just, that's the way He operates. If somebody doesn't push you past, you'll set the guidelines of where your faith will work. I watched this. When I started out as a Christian, see, I observe people and what they do. I watch people. And I would see, you know, over time, I watched like people I was first started off with as a Christian. And I watched them faith-wise. They came to a point where they had set their parameters of faith and they would never step outside of that place. They'd never go. No matter what God was doing or saying, they never, and you know, I watched them go on and on and on in Christian life years and years past, and they stayed within those guidelines of how far they would walk. And all the time, God's trying to get them outside, and they keep complaining. And after a while, you know, when somebody steps outside of their range, then they begin to complain and criticize them. Oh, you see, you're going too far. See, I can tell you this because I was criticized. I was criticized by ministers. I'd get a miracle and the minister couldn't. And he would tell me I'm wrong. Oh, yeah. They don't like it. Oh, you got to use wisdom. I said, well, I got a miracle. Was that pretty good? No, that wasn't good. No, what they want you to be, you got to be cautious. You got to be cautious with God. In other words, you have to get over where you're afraid to step into certain things. You know? Hey, I'm getting old now. How could we have a kid? See, that's where they'll take you. I was told time and time again that I was supposed to use wisdom. And every time they told me that, because my faith stepped outside the norm. And then I was told, I'm not walking in wisdom. But yet, every time it worked for me. And theirs never worked. But they told me I needed wisdom. See, that's what the Lord spoke to me back a few years ago and said to me one time about, and he talked to me about, in fact, I didn't bring it up with him, he brought it up with me, about the areas of miracles. Because I was, you know, it's one of the things of, we don't see many. See, a miracle is something outside the ordinary course of nature. Most of what we call a miracle today is something that somebody can do within the bounds of the natural. You know, we say a doctor does his surgery, oh, he did a miracle. He didn't do a miracle. He operated, he did something within the bounds of the course of our natural sciences and all that kind of stuff he did. You know, and it is amazing some of the things that they are able to do. But a miracle is outside the ordinary course of natural law and everything. And so, but the Lord spoke to me about that, and he said to me, because I had been over looking at things of miracles, I've been praying because I want to see the miraculous come back. I've been around when I was first started off as a Christian, saw miraculous, but you don't hardly see any of it today. Very seldom see miraculous today. You don't see miracles. I've been around, you know, in places and that stuff and saw miracles take place, and I'm talking about miracles. And you see that kind of stuff, and it's like you want to see those things take place again. They grip people, you know. Is one of the things I know with people today want to see things because people are so geared towards science fiction and everything else. People want something outside of what we see. People, that's the desire of man on the inside. Whether a sinner or a saint, God's influence in the human nature is for the miraculous. And when a person gets to the point where they're dead toward the miraculous, they're pretty much dead. Get the box out and put them in. Because they're pretty much dead as a human being. Because they're not going to go nowhere. It's what drives us is in the inside for something beyond what we can see or touch or what we can do. That there's something beyond us. See, there's a spirit realm that operates. And it's just as real around us. You can't see it and it's here. And and that realm controls everything. That realm is controlling all the stuff that goes on. Our interaction with that realm is what makes things happen. Good or bad. It's here. It's going on. But see, if we operate within the bounds of what we can see, we lose imagination. We can't imagine outside of what, it's just like with science. Science will limit your brain. It'll limit you on how far you can go. You know, they'll tell you because why? Well, we can't believe beyond what we see. You have to prove that this stuff. Well, you ever take the people that really are great inventors? They see outside the realm of what is there naturally. They see outside of it. They're the inventors. That's why most scientists today are not really good inventors and good at much at anything. All just trying to prove, you know, science has gotten awful and terrible. I mean, we can't even get doctors. They got this virus going on here. They're all scared to death of it. And there ain't two doctors can agree on anything about it. Why? Because they can't. Their minds are burnt out, gone, over in their little education box that they got put into. And it seems that's what Americans love to go to. Let's go to our little education box. You know, let's get in that thing. And you can't dream beyond that. See, God gives people vision. And that's one of the things we have to learn. You got to be able to see outside of it. But getting over into that area, the Lord spoke to me about miracles. And he said this to me. He said, do you know why you've seen so many miracles? You know why you've seen so many things in your life take place? He said, because you do extreme things. See, I've always done extreme things. I've done things outside of what people say. You need to use wisdom. You need to use wisdom. But I would just do something extreme. I would just do outside of what normally people would do. And he said, what you do, he said, is very similar to the working of miracles. See, the working of miracles, when that gift goes into operation, a person does something that causes a miracle to take place. They do something that causes a miracle. Now, the gift of faith is the opposite way. The gift of faith, you will say something that causes a miracle to take place, can do be just as miraculous as the working of miracles, but it's something you say, and that your faith maintains the whole time till that thing is completed. Sometimes that can go, it's like, you know, people talk about like the working of miracles. They say when Moses' rod was over, that really wasn't the working of miracles. That was the gift of faith in operation, because if the Bible, it wasn't like Cecil B. DeMille said. That's why people think that Cecil B. DeMille wrote the Bible, because he had it there that the sea just opened up. Well, it didn't. It says an east wind blew all night. It blew all night and it opened the water. The blew all night. In other words, it was a gift of faith, and his faith maintained. When he stepped out in that gift, his faith maintained till that thing was completed. And I've had that happen a number of times with me, and that's the most amazing thing you ever have. You go over and that gift goes into operation. If you go to the place, you cannot believe. I mean, you believe whatever you said. You can't. I don't care what you try to do to not believe it. You couldn't do it. You just believe it. And I don't care how. Don't make a bit of sense. You just know it's going to happen. That's going to take place. You just know it. And that's the way it works. And but he said to me, he said, "The working of miracles." He said, "You do." He said, "You do things." He said that cause miracles to take place. And he said, that's what people need to learn to do. See, you step outside the ordinary. Smith Wigglesworth, you know, I remember reading, you know, about him, and the first time he raised a person from the dead, you know, his wife did not like it that he stepped outside the boundaries of people's faith. She didn't like it. Because there was a neighbor lady who died in the bed. And Smith went in and went into the room, and his wife went in the room, and he was praying. And he started praying, and he talked about it. He said, I began to pray, and he said, I ran to a place, he said, the end of my faith. And he said, there's a faith came upon me, that he said, that I had never recognized before. And it was a gift of faith. That's what the first time he had it come on him. And he grabbed the lady out of the bed and took her over and slammed her against a wall and told her to walk. And his wife saying, oh, Smith, Smith, don't do this. See, you've gone too far. You've gone too far. This is why you need to understand this. You think people are going to be excited with a big move of God? You're going to be surprised how many people are not going to like a big move of God, because it's not going to be this pretty little nice thing that's going with American culture. And a lot of Americans will hate it. A lot of American Christians are going to hate it. They'll hate it. You think people like miracles? No, if they don't come in the box in the nice little American cute thing that don't upset anybody's feelings or hurt anybody or anybody's ideas, that they don't make me uncomfortable at all, then we'll go along with the miracles. And just wait, you can have the Antichrist then. He'll make you go along with them. You can wait for that wagon. No, I'm going to leave first. I'm going before that one gets here. But, you know, I know this is a regular line of teaching, but the Holy Ghost is moving this way. We're going to learn some things, and we do need to learn about it. It's stepping outside of our comfort areas. One of the biggest things is losing fear. And you've heard me say this so many times. You've got to lose the fear of death. You've got to lose the fear that if I do something, I'll die. You've got to come to that place. And that, you know, it's not comfortable, your flesh, because your flesh, understand it, your flesh is not as it is, as our flesh is. It's not eternal. So it is, our flesh is dying. And your flesh recoils against death. It does. So you're operating out of your spirit that's full of life, but you have this flesh, and it's amazing. You find how strong your flesh is. A lot of times your flesh is stronger than your spirit because you let it rule. Yeah. And you got to fight past that. And I'm going to tell you, the flesh can really be a hard thing to deal with. Where, you know, your flesh don't want to do it. You know, I've told the story, like, you know, when our daughter Alyssa was small and that stuff, and we had a jungle gym thing in back of our house where we lived at that time, and she'd fell and hit her head and had a concussion. Anyhow, the whole thing, you know, through that, when the Lord spoke to me the morning before, like, she was doing fine, and then I got into unbelief. And see, this is why when things start happening, you got to learn to, you know, if you want to learn about faith, and you want to go out in faith further, you can't keep doing what you did before in faith. You're going to have to step out beyond. And so this is what I learned. All this stuff happened when I was a young Christian. I was just a young Christian. I don't know if I'd only been born again probably a couple of years if it was that long, it was even a couple of years when Alyssa fell. Yeah, she wasn't very old because I was, she probably a couple of years. So anyhow, during the night, she started, it's number one, you know, with my experience of military and stuff and things, I knew she had a severe concussion. But the Lord had spoken to me when she had fallen, and he asked me what I was going to do. See, there's one thing is I did learn this. There's one thing is I learned. If anything serious happens, the first thing you should not do is do something. The first thing you should do is listen on the inside to see what God's saying. See, most people will start something in motion. They feel that most people have a panic. You know, your flesh is going to want to panic. And you're going to do that. You're going to either follow that panic, you're going to follow that, or you're going to listen. And I learned, listen, the Spirit of the Lord asked me what I was going to do. And I thought, gee, that seemed weird. What am I going to do? And then he said to me, well, it's up to you. What are you going to do? All right. Well, and I knew then what he was saying. So I had a choice. I could take her to the hospital, or I could believe God. Now, this is one thing as I learned. God would never speak to you and tell you to do something if you weren't able to do it. He would never tell you to do something. But he said this. It was my choice. See, we have a choice. The choices we make are going to determine, ahead down the road, probably the next time we make a choice. And the next time. It's going to be about what we made. We started doing back yonder. So if back yonder we started the things of not really stretching in the areas of faith, you'll find yourself down the road in the same place of faith you are. And then something big comes and you would like to believe beyond and you can't. Faith is just like anything else in life. You develop in it. It's just like, it don't just happen to you. You learn to develop in it. Mon and I learned to develop in it. We started off in little things. And anyhow, I set myself in faith. But during the night, Alyssa started having some problems. And I got over in the flesh. I let my flesh down. I started thinking more about what was happening than what I was supposed to be believing. And then that morning when I was getting up to go to work, the Lord rebuked me about it. See, it's one of the reasons why you need to hear from God, because he might have something to rebuke you about that you may not want to hear. But what he did, the rebuke was to set me in line again. What his whole attempt was getting me to bring this thing to an end using my faith. That was his whole point. God is always, understand this, God is always going to try to move you to the area of faith. That's what he's going to do. Every time. He is never going to lead you to a place to try to get you to have less faith than you had before. He's always going to try to move you into something greater. He always is. Number one, you can't grow. If you're not growing in faith, you are not growing spiritually at all. I don't care if you can quote more scriptures than you did last year. If your faith don't work any better, you haven't grown at all. And if you go over a period of time where you haven't done nothing with your faith will not be as strong as it was before. It'll degress. It's a thing that's got to be used. It's like anything in life. You know, if I'd sit back and look at it in high school at subjects that I had, I can't remember half of it, what it was even about. Why? Because I haven't used it. I didn't do anything with it. So it goes away. That's what happens. What even what you have will be taken from you. So, anyhow, his rebuke was the fact, he said, you were in faith, and he said, you started watching what's going on. And I said to him, and I'll never forget, I stayed in the bathroom, I said, yes, Lord, I said, you're exactly right, that's exactly what I did. I get in, started watching what's going on and what's happening, and I stop, I'm back in line. I said, I believe she's healed, that's the end of this thing. I said, I ain't going no further with this, she's healed. So, got myself in line, and I went off to work, and I went to work, and I'm at work, and that's when Wanda called. Wanda called, I said, they called me, and they said, you have an emergency phone call, call home. Uh-huh. So I went in and called, and I got on the phone, and I called Wanda, and Wanda said, Alyssa's throwing up blood. Now, I've made a confession of faith, haven't I? I've made a confession of faith. I said, so I knew one thing. See, you got to step outside. You got to step outside. See, and so what I'm going to do, there's no natural wisdom to what I did. There is zero natural wisdom to what I did. I said, I'll call you back, and hung up on her. Should I tell you what the wisdom is? You got to know the wisdom, because I'll tell you what. If you like talking to people about the problem, just forget the faith thing and just go ahead and do whatever. Just forget it. I knew, because Wanda's sitting in the middle of the fight. She said, there's no criticism to her. She's sitting and seeing what's going on. This thing is about my faith. I'm in charge of this thing. Not her. I'm in charge of it. God's talked to me about it. I'm in charge of it. I can make this thing work or not work. This is about me. It wasn't about her. About me. And I said, the Lord, Lord, what's going on? And you know what he said to me? He said, I thought you were believing she was healed. He spoke back to me just like I knew. I mean, it was just like clearing me. Thought you believed she was healed. I said, you're exactly right. I got on the phone, called Wanda, said, Wanda, she's healed. Goodbye. That's right. Why? Because you don't want to listen to something else. If you want to sit and talk about it, then keep your faith in that little box. Because what happens, I don't need somebody talking to me. I knew in the inside where I could stand, and I got to go, I got to stay there. And I can't let somebody else talk me out of it. I can't let her talk me out of it. Can't let her talk. So, you know, I get back, that was probably somewhere around maybe, it must have been about 1 o'clock, like that, she had called. So, a little before 3, I got off work, and anyhow. But anyhow, when I got home, and she said, before I got home, she said, Alyssa walked downstairs and said, Mom, I'm completely healed. Praise God. So, work did it pretty good. I mean, it worked. But see, sometimes there's one thing. You know, the Bible says through faith and patience. You know, there don't require any patience at all if no problems are going on. There's no patience. It says through faith and patience you inherit the promise. Sometimes you go through it. See, this is one thing. Now, you know, we started off in little things, and this is what I tell people. This is why people lose all, like people today. There's so many people, like say, lose the cancer battle. Why? They can't believe God for a cold. You don't get into a cancer battle and you can't believe God for a cold. If this flu scares you and your chances of dying in this flu are, I mean, just from a natural standpoint, the chances of a person below 70 years old dying from this flu is like 0.016. The regular flu will kill more people right now than this flu does. Okay? So people get all panicked. We're going through all this nonsense and all this panic over here. All of this stuff over here. Just because of that. We're going, you know, and it's people, the fear-driven stuff. But you need to understand, this is what's going on. If you're at the areas and your fear, that fear runs, that's an easy thing to get over into. you know, that you're afraid. But if you're going to go up against a big battle or something, you have to won little battles. If you can't beat the headache, you ain't beating cancer. See, I learned that. I figured that out, you know, when I was a young Christian. I figured, you know, you have to develop toward things. It's like finances. You know, as I always tell the story, Juan and I started. First time thing of money we ever believed for was $20. Well, to us, you might as well ask us to believe for $10,000. Man, for us to believe for $20 was a big thing. We had never done nothing like that before. We had never believed, you know, that we'd have $20 come in unless I could, you know, go work and do something or something. We're just going to let God do this thing. Well, man, that was a whole new ballgame. Well, it's going to be the same thing. Can you believe for healing when the doctor says, we can't do anything for you? Well, have you ever learned to believe God outside? See, I'm going to believe God because there's nobody else to believe. And if I can't bring it to pass through faith through Him, it can't happen. See, this is where it's going. God wants to get us over. I tell you, God is trying to move the church into this place right now, is what He's trying to move. People into the place where we will believe Him outside. We're looking at a nation that's a mess. We want a move of God. We need a move of God. And you know what? We can't look at the mess and limit God to the mess and say, well, you know how this is. Because we might as well forget it. Don't bother praying. Don't bother doing nothing. Hey, Jesus, come and take us home because we've lost. We have to be able to go outside. We got to come where we're going to trust Him and say, hey, you know, there's nothing natural can fix this. But you will. You can fix this thing. All things are possible to him that believeth. I'm going to tell you what, that puts it out there pretty wide. So you put that out there and then you put, mine's here, it's out here. It's like, whoa. We talk about faith, it's like, we need to, all things are possible to him, all things are possible to him that believeth. And see, this, you know, you can't lose your joy. If you're over in your faith, you can't lose your joy. You can't look at what's going on. We have too much communication. We have too much of on the phones knowing with our information. I'm tired of people's information. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't even care about their information anymore. You know? It's like, man, there's a God in heaven. I need to hear from Him. If anything I need to hear is from God. I've heard of man, from man as far as I want to go. They've said it all. And it ain't been any good. Don't tell me about another prophet. I don't know. Don't tell me another one. Ah, they're saying this and they're saying that. Yes, I'll tell you what. I want to know what God's saying. See, I have the Holy Spirit in me and you do too. You have in you. And He's in you to take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to us. I need to know what belongs to Jesus. I don't need to know what belongs to men. I don't need to. We need to know what belongs to Jesus. And He wants to reveal that. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's supposed to show us things to come. See, we need to be able to look ahead. People can't look ahead anymore. We've lost that. See, we got to come back to that where I could see ahead. See, faith is always about looking ahead. You can't walk or live by faith if you can't see ahead. What I'm believing for right now will come to pass in the future. I don't care if it's the next 15 minutes, it's the future. Faith is always about reaching out to the future. See, in most people, where most Christians live is faith now. And their faith is never, they don't have any time interval. Can't wait for 15 minutes. My faith, I'm planning ahead and looking ahead. You know, what's happening next week? What's going, I'm walking by faith next week. I'm standing with God. I'm going to keep following God. I'm walking. I'm something that I'm doing all the time, moving ahead, down the road. That's my faith. And we have to get over to doing that, just walking in that manner where, you know, some people say, well, I just live from day to day. Well, you're not going to live very well. You're not going to do well from a standpoint of faith because you're walking. Faith has a vision beyond where I'm at right now. And that's where we have to walk. And if we want something better, we got to be able to see beyond where we're at. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, that we can, Jesus said you can have what you say, and all people do is run around and talk about what they have. He didn't say you can have what you have. He said you can have what you say. What are you saying? You know, it would be, you know, it's getting ourselves over saying, beginning to speak the right things and saying the right things. The word's enough. If all we ever had from God was just the words of this book, it would just make you so successful. We should just be blown away in faith, trusting God. Even if we never got another word. Thank God he comes along, but God will speak to us things specific to us ourselves personally. And see, this is why, is that, you know, people tell you to have a personal relationship with Jesus. I don't think the average Christian who makes that statement has any clue what that statement means. That you can actually, it literally can. You're supposed to. I don't see how you can be a Christian and not have the Holy Spirit speaking to you directly about things you need to know. You know, see, I need to know what I need to be doing. What does he want me to do? You know, when I asked the Lord about it, they were doing those all the selection things and people were saying all these different things. And I just said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I've been praying, and you know, I pray for our president and I pray concerning our nation. I said, Lord, what's going on? He said, don't be concerned about what's going on. So he said, all I want you to do is just trust me. I said, I can do that. So you know what? I don't care what anybody else says about it. They can say unto me, well, if God said this and that, well, we'll find out if you're right or not. This is my job. The Lord said to me, my job is just trust him. I'm just going to trust him. You know, it isn't a matter of outcome of what I think ought to be outcome. Or when things should turn around. Or what should be. What I'm supposed to do is trust him. If things naturally don't go right, does he change?
No.
See, it's getting the place. See, most Christians, they're scared. Well, what if the Democrats take on this socialism? What if it does? Well, there's Christians that lived in the Soviet Union with worse than what we've ever had. And they followed Jesus. Is most people, what they're afraid of is all natural. It's all natural things because they can't spiritually face anything in the future. They can't spiritually face it because they're not, they're the average Christian. And Jesus made, you know, when Jesus said that people, he said that man's hearts would fail them for fear of things coming on the earth. We're here. People's hearts are failing them. And the sad part about it, it's a lot of the believers' hearts are failing them. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be us. It should, you know, we should still have the joy of our salvation. We should still maintain ourselves. You can't lose your joy and be a person of faith. You can't do it. So you have to maintain. And that's where it's getting over and walking in faith. It's nice to see good things, you know. It's learning, especially. It's nice to feel good when things are good, but when you can turn and walk and be keep yourself over where you're not up and down. You know, we have so many people. I just call them like roller coasters. Their life is just, you know, one they're happy one day, and the next day they're down and bummed out. Something happened, or back and forth and back and forth. And being around people over the years, one of the things I decided as a young Christian, I thought, man, I ain't going to live that kind of life anymore. That's gone. Amen. You know, this thing's going to either work. You can either stay steady or, you know, and you got to come to that place. You know, you don't get on a roller coaster. Amen. Most people are on a roller coaster. Amen. Most people, you know, they you know, I see people in there one time a day, you see, boy, that thing's really going, oh yeah, it's really nice. Next time I'm bummed out. Pray for me. We got 78 different problems and we got, you know, and you can tell, I mean, they're just down and out. But they're just up and down with things all the time. They don't run on an even keel. Now, running on an even keel doesn't have to do with the problems, because you could have a lot of problems, but you shouldn't change.
Amen.
You shouldn't change. Because number one, it wears you out, the roller coaster. You can't ride a roller coaster. You know, naturally, a natural roller coaster, you know, it's fun for a time, but you couldn't spend all day going up and down like that. Eventually, they'd take you away in an ambulance. You just couldn't do it all day. And to live a life like, you can't live a life like that. You can't live a life like that. There's so much in life, this is where you got to trust God, because there's so much that's outside of your hands. You can't control other people's faith. You can't control at times what other people do. You can't. And you got to learn to smile and walk on and say, amen. When you find out you ain't God, that's a good thing. We don't fix everything. We can't fix everything. You know, God has his hands full with me. I wonder how he has time to work on you guys. I don't know. I think he'd just be, man, trying to get this guy straight. You know, he must be pretty good. Just think about it. God's able to work on all of us.
Amen.
At the same time.
Amen.
He can. That's a phenomenal thing. No, I can't. I can't reason. I can't think beyond that. I am totally unable. I'm not able to do that. I'm not able to, you know, I can't fix everybody's stuff and do everything. God can. He can speak to everybody. He can be speaking. God can speak to one person about a certain thing and talking to them. And he got a world full of people, and he's willing to talk to all of them. Now, what scientist is going to... See, this is number one. If you want to accept what science says, you're going to accept a little God, a God that can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to. Try to have faith in science as God. Even in Christian science as God. Because Christian science does the same thing to him. Puts him in a narrow... But this is he's within this narrow space. You can't... Our God is so incredible. I mean, think about it. Since he put, now you look at our universe. Look at our universe. They've got, you know, the electronic, you know, telescopes and all this stuff. Now they view out, you know, how many billions of light years now they can see out beyond. Expanding universe. Every time they find out, the more they develop in this earth, they find out that it's bigger and bigger. And the Bible says that God put those stars out there with his fingers. Now, in other words, he said, you know, he flicked them out. Now, think about that. I mean, in other words, how much effort does it take something with your fingers? I mean, it was no effort to him to do that. And our science sits and looks at, they marvel, and they're trying to figure all this stuff out. And they're so hilarious. You know, I sat here about a month ago and watched a show on TV show on black holes. Because I wanted to see what they had to say about this. So they're telling us all this stuff they don't, black holes. And at the end of the show, they admitted they didn't even know if they really exist. Do you know science doesn't even know if a black hole actually exists? They have no proof of it. There's no scientific proof it exists. It is 100% theory. Do they teach it as a theory? No. They don't even know. They don't even know. Because they said, when we turn around and put down our calculations and things, it doesn't add up. Oh, isn't that nice? It doesn't add up. But you know what? My believing in a God that puts stars out there by figures, I'm weird. I'm weird. See, I'm believing. What are they? They believe in all kinds of stuff they can't prove.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they believe in all kinds of things. So I want to be the nut on the God side. Okay,
amen.
That's where I'm going. Number one, I found out there's stuff works over here into this thing, and so I'm going to just keep working over there. So do that for yourselves. Hallelujah. Just be like Mary was. The angel shows up and tells you, just say, hey, let it be unto me as it's been said. Hey, just, yeah. Say, do you understand it? No, but we're just let it be to me. It was it. If you said so, that's God speaking. All right. We're going to go along with that. So if you see an angel, and if you don't, God speaks to you. God speaks something in your heart to you. I just really encourage you, just be exactly like Mary was. Just, okay. You don't have to get it. You know, eventually, she got in line with it. So it don't matter. But she would have never gotten in line with it if she would have rejected it. I got to understand all this. This just don't make any sense. You know, this just don't seem real. And hallelujah. God has plans and he's carrying them out. And let's let him keep carrying them out. Hallelujah. Let's just cooperate with him on it. Hallelujah. He knows how to make this thing work. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you for being so gracious and kind to us. And surely you have been patient, very patient with us. And I'm so thankful, Lord God, in teaching us. And Lord God, I pray the things you have me minister tonight, Father God. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, you give them your wisdom to walk in these things. Lord God, Lord, there's so much that tries to hold us back and things around us. But Lord God, you're trying to expand us. That's what you want us to do because you have marvelous things planned. You have marvelous things that you want to do. And Lord God, you want to do it to and through your people. And I just want to thank you, Father. Father, you have great plans to use them. in ways, Lord God, I believe that we haven't even dreamed. Lord God, things that we haven't seen. Lord, we look at the Scriptures and Father, we marvel at them and we think, oh yes, Lord God, those things are true. But Lord, we walk in them just minutely many times to what, how Lord, they, how far they can be taken. And Father God, we want to take them a lot further in these days. And I thank you, Lord God. Lord, in 1950, you spoke to the prophet Kenneth Hagin and you said that they had entered the time of the miraculous. Lord God, we've entered, Lord God, since 1950. And Lord God, through that time period, there's been in and out at times where people have walked in it. But Lord, not near as we have should have walked in it. And Lord God, these are days of miraculous. And you desire to reveal the miraculous and bring the miraculous through the church. And I thank you, Father God. Lord God, help us and take us outside of our comfort zone and outside of that place, Lord God, that our flesh feels nice. Lord, we want our flesh dead. Lord, our flesh gets too much alive. It dominates too much. And Father God, Father, I want to thank you. We want to be alive to you and dead to sin. And we thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God, that you're going to work in miraculously in us and among us, Lord God. Father God, and take us, Lord God. Lord, they say in Star Trek about going where they've never gone before. Well, Lord God, I surely want my faith to go where it hasn't gone before. I want it to reach out into something much further. Hallelujah. Lord God, beyond my thinking. Hallelujah. But Lord God, we take and put on the mind of Christ. The Word says we have it, so Lord God, we're going to walk in it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.